Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express. Looking for a comer. This is
awesome. Sean Boyd, the Double S Express, back again. It is Monday evening, which means one thing and one thing only, On the Double.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. We got a lot of sports to talk about, Sean. I'm excited, man.
So much going on, from the NBA Finals, the NHL Stanley Cup, baseball's in full swing. Where do we begin, Sean Boyd?
Well, I mean, the best place to begin would definitely be with the NBA Finals last night. What a great basketball game. The San Antonio Spurs definitely coming out and making a statement. I mean, this series so far, Sean, has just been up and down, a roller coaster ride, if you will. Nobody's really won two straight. That's what we've been talking about over the past few days. And, you know, here was the time to make that break. Game five, so pivotal. And it looks like the San Antonio Spurs take that one, 114-104. Excellent game last night. Manu Ginobili showing up and having a great game last night, and that was huge for the San Antonio Spurs. And, of course, we cannot miss Danny Green shooting the lights out from the three-point line, 6 of 10. He had 24 as well. It's going to be an uphill battle if the defending champions can't figure it out here. They've got a day to figure it out, and it's going to be interesting to see how LeBron James, D-Wade, you know, the big three, handle this one.
After a loss, the Miami Heat have come back big time and won the next game. They could do that tomorrow night, which would keep them in the series and force a game seven.
Yeah, well, you know, the law of averages says that they will definitely do that. I mean, they haven't lost two straight in 5 months. The other interesting note is that the San Antonio Spurs have not lost two games in 6 months. And so, you know, if history repeats itself, it looks like the Miami Heat could take tomorrow's game. Of course, they'll be at home. They'll be psyched up and ready to go with their backs against the wall.
In my book, if the Spurs are going to get it done, they're going to do it tomorrow night in six. You never want to have to win a game seven on the road.
Yeah, well, you know, there are a couple of interesting factors to take into this game, Sean. One of them is, you know, do the San Antonio Spurs exert all of their energy in trying to win this game out? And if they don't, you know, will Popovich, you know, pull off the brakes or put the brakes on early so that he can save for game seven? This is not a young team in the San Antonio Spurs, so they have to be very methodical. The other question mark is Chris Anderson, who hasn't played the past two games for the Miami Heat. He is definitely an added spark, especially when playing at home. You can expect to see him. And if you do see him on the floor, expect some matchup problems for the San Antonio Spurs, because now you're looking at Tiago Splitter that has to play more minutes.
And the move that worked so well for Coach Popovich and the Spurs was getting Manu Ginobili back in the starting lineup.
Yes, and you know, and that was key. You know, you have to give the credit to this victory for the San Antonio Spurs to Coach Popovich making a bold decision and inserting Manu Ginobili, who has been, you know, everything. He's been absent the whole series, and it's actually been a couple of series. So putting his trust in Manu to go out there and take care of business, Manu got in a rhythm, got things going, and hey, the rest is history. They're up 3-2.
The other big series going on right now is in the NHL, the Stanley Cup Finals going on actually right now. And what a series we've had. Lots of games in overtime, two back-to-back, something we haven't seen in a very, very long time.
Yeah, so right now, man, at the end of the second period, Boston is definitely waking up. You're looking at a goal by Bergeron from an assist from Jágr. I mean, what a special play. I mean, the way Bergeron hit the puck, it ricocheted right off the left goal and went in. I mean, they're giving Crawford fits right now for the Chicago Blackhawks. And, you know, hopefully the Blackhawks can turn it around. I know it's early in the series. I know Paille earlier in the game, in the second period, this was a big period for the Bruins, and Paille had a goal as well. And so, you know, they were in the power play for a little bit, and they're, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks were in the penalty, and that helped the Boston Bruins go up 2-0 so far.
You know, it's great for Boston, but man, They don't need another championship. How many have they had from in the last 10 years alone between all the teams all throughout New England?
Yeah, well, the last championship for the Boston Bruins, of course, was in 2011. And so, yeah, you talk about familiarities, and you're mentioning with the Celtics and of course, the New England Patriots and the Boston Red Sox to throw in there as well over the past, you know, 10 years. Yeah, Boston definitely knows what championships are about.
Switching gears quickly, we've got some good baseball here out west in the AL West as four of the AL West teams are doing battle here tonight, with Oakland traveling to Texas. Seattle left Oakland yesterday and is now in L.A. to take on the Angels. And speaking of Oakland, they were the hottest team in the league, 21-7, coming into Friday night's three-game series, Friday, Saturday, Sunday with the Mariners. Seattle took 2 of 3. And goodness, what happened at that stadium after the game yesterday?
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, they had sewer problems in the Oakland Coliseum. And, man, I've been there, you know, week in and week out, especially during the football season, NFL season, Sean, and, of course, for baseball as well. And, they got to do something about this stadium. I mean, this is a great baseball team that deserves better, and also, of course, the Oakland Raiders play there during the season, and you know, both teams do not deserve this. And if they want to get to the next level and make things, you know, for the Raiders, if they want to get to that next level, they have to have great facilities. You know, it's great to see the Oakland Athletics doing their thing. Right now they're down 7-6 in the sixth inning. It's a barn burner, but Oakland can definitely overcome. But, yeah, sewer problems in Oakland. And so the gist of it was that the Mariners and the A's had to share the same locker room. So I can only imagine what that was like, Sean.
People didn't take showers. The umpires left, said, forget it. We'll do this at the hotel. A lot of each side of the team did the same thing. And what a mess. There are AAA parks that are in much better shape than what the O.co is for major sports.
Yeah, well, you know that there's always talks every year about a new stadium, and who's going to be in it is the thing. I know the Oakland Athletics are looking. They've looked in places such as Fremont, California, San Jose. They're dealing with a situation across the bay with San Francisco actually having zoning rights. And so that's pretty interesting because, you know, now you're trying to figure out, are the A's going to stay there or are they going to leave? Are the Oakland Raiders going to have that facility for themselves? So it's a total mess right now outside of the sewer problem that's happening at the O.co.
Well, we're talking California sports, Northwest sports, and a guy that knows all about them is with us now on the line, big-time guest number one, Q13 Fox in Seattle, sports director Aaron Levine joining us. Aaron, thanks for jumping on tonight.
Hey, Sean, how you guys doing?
Good, good. Hey, good talking with you again, Aaron. I know the last time we had talked was a couple of years ago. Man, you were just coming off of 2 Emmys. And, man, that's an exciting time. I know that there was a big weekend for the Emmys this past weekend.
You know, I might have peaked, guys, because those 2 Emmys are the limit right now. I lost to Chris Egan of King 5 Sports the last couple of years. We got an interesting rivalry going on. It's been back and forth every single year up until this one. He finally took 2 in a row, so big props to him. You guys were talking about the sewage problem at the O.O yesterday. Honestly, if the Mariners needed any more reminder of how well they're playing this year in the last decade, right? And they got it in their own clubhouse.
Wow.
Yes, definitely. I mean, you know, you're talking about, you know, a definite turnaround is needed for the Seattle Mariners. Of course, you're up there, you're handling it firsthand and dealing with the organization. You know, do you see some type of light at the end of the tunnel here in the near future?
You would hope so. You would really hope so because you see a bright spot with Nick Franklin right now coming up and Mike Zunino. They feel comfortable with him coming up and pretty much being your full-time catcher now. But there was a question a couple of weeks ago when this long-term plan that Jack Cerenzik and Eric Wedge were banking on over the last few years, the one that highlighted stars like Justin Smoke and Kyle Seager and Dustin Ackley and Jesus Montero, really didn't seem to be panning out aside from Kyle Seager over third base. Dustin Ackley was sent back to Tacoma. Montero was sent back to Tacoma. Smoke was on the DL. And for the first time in the last 3 or 4 years, we really felt like this long-term plan was going in the opposite direction, and people started to question Jack Cerenzik. And now this quote-unquote plan that they're talking about is also dependent on some of the future aces on the mound, the Danny Holtzins, the Taiwan Walkers, the James Paxtons, who are still in the minor leagues right now. Well, how are we supposed to trust a plan like that if the current plan that involves Smoke Seager, Ackley, and Montero doesn't seem to be working out? As a Mariners fan, there's a trust issue that goes on there, and it really started to make Mariners fans question the direction of this franchise.
And Aaron, it is nice to see some minute bright spots with Zunino starting off okay, Franklin hitting at 300 and playing nice defense and bringing some speed to the table as well. Yet you've got Ackley, who faltered, and now he's hitting over 400 down at AAA, where he takes the stress and the worry off at the plate.
Yeah, he certainly does. And I was listening to an interview with Jack Cerenzik last week, and he continues to emphasize the point that there are good things coming, and there are a lot of individualistic talents that they are excited about. Well, individual talents are one thing, but when the team is still 8 or 9 games under 500, when it was expected to be at least a 500 team this year, it makes you question it. Something is not gelling. Now, I will say this. I was in the clubhouse during spring training, and the chemistry is 10 times better than it was last year. Gone are some of the clubhouse cancers like Sean Figgins and, dare I say, Ichiro as well. I mean, he was a great player on the field, but he wasn't any semblance of a leader in the clubhouse. The chemistry in the clubhouse is much better this year, and that's why I expected them to be much better on the field. We haven't seen it so far, and it's been a shame because this was really the first year that I jumped on that Mariners bandwagon. I thought that they were going to be at least 500. I called 85 wins. And the season is still somewhat young, but it doesn't look like it right now as they're 8 games under 500.
They're going to definitely have to make a move and play a little more consistently because they've been a roller coaster team and they need to put that win streak together and build off of that.
Yeah, they certainly do. And you talk about a streak. They haven't swept a team all season long. I mean, they've had so many opportunities to do so, and winning a series is great. I mean, that's the first step. But yesterday against Oakland, you have to finish a series off. The start of the homestand, the 10-game homestand about a week and a half ago, when they went 16 innings against the Chicago White Sox, that loss really stands out in my mind because they had so many chances to win that game in regulation, and then when they go to the 14th inning and they're down 5-0, never in the history of Major League Baseball has a team been down 5 runs or more in the 14th inning or later and come back to tie a game. And here comes Kyle Seager and hits a grand slam, ties the game at 5, and they end up losing the game. You can't lose those types of games. You can't make history in a game like that and end up losing. I almost compared it on a smaller scale to what happened to the Seahawks last year in the playoff game in Atlanta. The fact that they were down 20 points going into the fourth quarter, Russell Wilson leads them on an incredible comeback, and they end up losing the game. You cannot come back from a deficit like that in historic fashion and end up losing the game. The Mariners win that game in the 16 innings. That means they start their homestand 3-0. They have their first sweep of the season, and they have all the momentum in the world going into their 4-game homestand against the New York Yankees. Instead, they're 2-1. They're beaten. They're broken down. They end up finishing the homestand 5-5, and that was a real important homestand if they were going to change the direction of the season.
Great points by Aaron Levine. For those of you just turning in, Aaron Levine on the double with the Double S Express. Hey, Aaron, shifting gears a little bit, you're talking about the Seattle Seahawks. What are some of the rumors coming out of camp there? I mean, there's Tavarius Jackson that has just signed back with the Seahawks. What's the word going on around camp there?
Now, you talk about Tavarius Jackson first, and a lot of people are questioning that move, Seattle bringing Tavares back to town. I actually approve that move, specifically if he's going to be a backup quarterback, which is their complete intention is to be for him to be a backup to Russell Wilson. And he's still going to compete with Brady Quinn for the backup role under center, but you really have nothing to lose by bringing Tavares back to Seattle. You have a guy who's completely familiar with the offense. He probably runs that offense better than Brady Quinn was. And from every indication, Pete Carroll says Brady hasn't done anything wrong. He's just, to me, Brady Quinn has looked lost in mini camps, in the OTAs so far. Maybe he's having trouble grasping the offense. It doesn't seem like an offense that Brady Quinn would feel comfortable in. I feel like you need more of an athletic guy, a guy that can move outside the pocket a little bit more, more of a Russell Wilson type. I'm not saying Tavares Jackson is the fastest guy in the world either, but at least he has a familiarity with his offense, and I think he's going to end up winning that backup role. I'd actually be surprised if – I wouldn't be surprised if Brady Quinn wasn't in training camp with these guys as well.
Yeah, great point. That was one of the huge question marks that I was thinking about as well when the Seahawks acquired Brady Quinn. I'm thinking, where does he fit in this style of offense? And, you know, Brady Quinn's more of a pocket quarterback. The question mark is still out there as far as if he can actually read the defense or not. So that was huge. I do believe that Tavares Jackson will be able to, you know, get a grasp of the offense a lot better than Brady. And so you're right. I just don't see any place for Brady Quinn out there.
The only place I saw for Brady Quinn was in the quarterback meeting room, because the one thing that John Schneider and Pete Carroll both stressed was the fact that Brady has an incredible work ethic. And that clearly would gel with a guy like Russell Wilson, who is in the film room at 6:30 in the morning. Those two guys could really gel in that respect. I don't necessarily know that Brady Quinn would gel with the Seahawks offense and the kind of offense that they're running. And I think Tavares Jackson would be a better fit in that regard.
Aaron Levine. Go ahead, Sean.
Aaron Levine joining us on the double. Q13 Fox Sports Director in Seattle. Aaron, you've been pretty vocal on Cue It Up Sports about the need for the NBA to return to Seattle. And I don't doubt or deny that one bit. Sean Boyd has a unique perspective being down in the Sacramento area. He's lived down there about 5-6 years now and spent the majority of his life in the Puget Sound area and lifetime Sonic fan. And now he's kind of getting the Kings perspective as well and become somewhat of a fan from a distance. And where do you fit in how it all went down with the deal with the Kings, and where do you see it going in the future in terms of the NBA coming back to Seattle?
Frankly, I was disappointed with how it played out. Am I disappointed for the fans of Seattle? Absolutely. Am I excited that the fans of Sacramento were able to keep their team? Definitely. I think every Seattle fan sympathized with the plight of every Sacramento Kings fan, and the idea of the possibility of losing their team. It became a reality for us up here in Seattle, and the fact that the Kings fans didn't have to live through the same thing is a blessing for them, and I'm very happy that happened. I'm not exactly happy with the way it all played out, and the fact that NBA Commissioner David Stern clearly played a big role behind the scenes in trying to keep the Kings in Sacramento when he publicly said that he didn't have he didn't have a stake in the game, which he clearly did. His friendship with Kevin Johnson, the fact that he didn't want his legacy to include more movement of franchises on his watch, and I think it was a poor way to go about it in Commissioner Stern's position. Now, from Chris Hansen's perspective up here in Seattle, I don't think they ever thought that Sacramento was going to make as big of a fight as they did to keep their team. And so I commend Kevin Johnson, I commend Vivek Renadive and all the guys down there that put their money where their mouth was, or at least seemed to have done so up to this point, to be able to keep their team down there. And I think expansion going forward is a definite option for Seattle. The fact that Chris Hansen and Steve Ballmer and the Nordstrom brothers were able to display to the rest of the NBA owners that they have a solid plan that is going to bring a lot of corporate dollars and infuse a lot of money into the NBA. I mean, the fact that they essentially rejected the best potential ownership group the NBA has ever seen speaks volumes as well. And so with this new TV contract, once this thing's negotiated, I think they're going to turn around and award Seattle an expansion team, and that's going to be great for the city of Seattle, considering we're going to have our own team, and it's not going to feel like stealing another city's team in the process.
Absolutely, and that's definitely not the way you want to garner a team. And I guess two of the biggest issues I had with Stern in the whole process with Sacramento was A, that he would go out and publicly say how, you know, Sacramento has been a great city in the NBA for all these years. Well, Seattle was around 41 years, which was longer than Sacramento's. And secondly, how he almost went to Kevin Johnson and gave him a second chance when their first offer wasn't even in the same playing field.
No, I agree with that. And the fact his snide remark at the beginning of the press conference when all was said and done, and the first thing that he said is, I'm going to keep this brief because I have to go to a playoff game in Oklahoma City. He tempers his words very, very meticulously. And the fact that he comes back now and says he had no intent or ill will toward the city of Seattle by saying that, I don't necessarily agree with it. Not how snide he has acted toward the city ever since he basically got the middle finger from Olympia when Howard Schultz was trying to build a new arena in Seattle. You would think the statute of limitations would run out by now, but clearly they haven't. And I really feel like David Stern has a vendetta against the city of Seattle, regardless of what he says. Fortunately, he's retiring February 1st next year, and he has the next guy in charge, Adam Silver, who seemed very, very amenable to opening up the talks for expansion for a team here.
Great points from Aaron Levine. Hey, Aaron, from my perspective, being down here in Sacramento, I never thought that I would be put into this position, I tell you. And, you know, it's almost like we've kind of played tag. You've gone up to the Pacific Northwest, and I'm here down in Northern California. And I thought that I'd left that behind, that pain in my stomach. You know, and I'll never forget when Seattle left to Oklahoma City. It just felt like, you know, a loss in the family. And so to go through this again and just to have that feeling from my home city, I mean, I was torn. I felt like a child in a bitter divorce, you know, because I'm hearing things from Seattle. I'm hearing things from Sacramento. And, you know, I'm just glad that, you know, for one, that solidarity stood, you know, for something in the NBA. And, you know, at least one city that said, hey, let's rally ourselves, let's lock arms, let's make this work out. You know, I'm glad that, you know, on that part that David Stern made that decision. But I do understand what you're saying as far as, you know, the animosity that that Commissioner Stern had with the city of Seattle. And something has to be done, and I'm great that Adam Silver is coming in and there's going to be new blood. You know, it's just exhausting. It was just an exhausting process. And, you know, I believe that both cities are going to wind up benefiting for this in the next couple of years.
No doubt about it. And one thing that happened at the end of the whole Seattle Sonics to Oklahoma City saga was I feel like Commissioner Stern handled it much differently in that Steve Ballmer came to the table in the 11th hour and said he's willing to put up $300 million to renovate Key Arena. And at that point, the Sonics were already out the door. That Stern wasn't even going to give it a mention. People continually said, well, Ballmer's willing to do this. And Stern kept saying, well, there's no plan. There's no plan. And in this situation, he embraced Kevin Johnson. He embraced the quote-unquote plan from the other side. I think a lot, as Sonics fans, we really felt in a state of denial the entire time. There was no thought that it was actually going to happen, that they were actually going to move to Oklahoma City. And so I do. I give props to all the Sacramento Kings fans that stood in unison and didn't want to leave the last Kings home game because they thought that might be the last game they played in Sacramento. I give him props for it. And you talk about exhausting. Here's what's exhausting. 3.5 months of that process here in Seattle, thinking you may or may not get an NBA team. And then this past couple days news that the NHL's Phoenix Coyotes might be coming up to Seattle now if the lease agreement falls through in the city of Glendale. And that's the big news down here and up here. And I don't want to hear about it. I mean, it is our journalistic obligation to report it, yes. But at the same time, wake me up when this is all over. And it's probably going to be in another couple of weeks, we'll find out, beginning of July. But the idea is that the Coyotes could actually be playing hockey at Key Arena this fall, which is really hard to believe. And I just wake me up when it's over and tell me if we have a team or not. Because I don't want to have to go through the day-to-day emotions and struggles that we had to do with the Sacramento Kings.
You know, that's interesting because Sean and I were just talking about that, and I was talking about just that. Now you're looking at a whole nother league, a whole nother entity. I mean, it just opens a whole can of worms, and I'm with you, man. I mean, yeah, when it's over, hopefully there'll be a team, an NHL team in Seattle along with the NBA team. I believe that both of those are going to happen, and the city of Seattle is definitely equipped for that with the 13th largest market, you know, in the United States. And so, you know, I just want all of this to be done with, and, you know, I do. I see some great things happening there in the next couple of years.
And I have even better news for you, Sean. Since you left for Sacramento, we've gone up from number 13 to number 12 in the country.
Don't move too fast.
And I heard today, actually, that we might be taking over number 11 very soon. Detroit's number 11, and we might be jumping them as well. We have a ways to go to get to Houston, I think, which is 10. But we're excited about that jump in media size.
That's good stuff. That's good to hear.
Aaron Levine bringing breaking news. The Seattle-Tacoma media market has grown. All the people were coming up from California. Sean Boyd went the other way. This is On the Double with the Double S Express. Aaron, since we are not on just Seattle radio, you grew up in California. You're a big Dodger fan. Do you want to talk Dodgers? Do you want to talk any other teams that you like that you don't get to on a daily basis when you're covering Seattle sports?
The only team that I like to talk about that's down in California is my beloved Stanford Cardinal football team, and it's been a really good year since we won the Rose Bowl for the first time in 40 years. That would be the only one right now, and we're trying to make some history this season. People consider us a national contender, and I never dreamed of the day that we could be that highly regarded in a season. So got my fingers crossed, and hopefully David Shaw will continue the success that they have down in the Bay Area.
Hey, Aaron, just as you mentioned that, you know, David Shaw is definitely doing a great job down here in Northern California and putting the Stanford Cardinal on the map. There was a situation this past season to where you had to eat a little crow. And, you know, I believe the University of Washington played Stanford, and man, if I could play it, I would, but you did such an awesome job in singing Bow Down to Washington that
Oh, boy.
Tell me how that felt.
You think it was an awesome job, but I submitted that in my Emmy Award nomination, which didn't win, so clearly the committee didn't think so highly about my Bow Down to Washington dance. I will say this, though. I wouldn't mind trading a loss to Washington every year if that means Stanford ends up winning the Rose Bowl. So it worked out pretty well. In fact, after that Stanford loss to the Huskies, I was out with a couple of Stanford alumni, and we cheered to the end of the Stanford BCS streak, which started at the Orange Bowl and then went to the Fiesta Bowl, and we thought it was over. It was all said and done at that point, and it turned out that I was wrong because we ended up sweeping the table the rest of the way in conference play, and ended up going to Pasadena.
So Aaron Levine, Q13 Sports Director in Seattle, kind enough to join us here this evening, our first big-time guest on the double. Aaron, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate your insight and hope you enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks, Aaron.
There goes Aaron Levine, Q13 Sports Director in Seattle, Washington, as our big-time guest number one.
Great to talk to Aaron again. And, you know, man, I wish him the best up there. And, you know, to me, he's an Emmy Award winner every year. Great guy to be around. Great guy to talk to. And so, Q13's definitely got a gem. And so, here we are at the bottom of the hour. And our next guest coming up is one Donald Watt, former University of Washington basketball sensation. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express on BBS Radio.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Welcome to the second half of the hour, and we're going to go now to big-time guest number two as we welcome in former University of Washington basketball star Donald Watts to the program. Donald, thanks for jumping on tonight.
How you doing, fellas?
Good, good, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I'm just loving the sunshine, you know, happy to be a part of this great Seattle community and, you know, doing my best to help the basketball community continue to move forward and have success.
And so, yeah, so that's that. You know, that's a great fact that you had mentioned. Of course, you're doing some things in the community, and I believe you have a couple of camps that are going on right now. Is that correct?
Yeah, yep. We it's busy time. We got a camp going on this week at Villa Academy. Next week we're over at Sound Mind and Body Gym at Fremont. At the same time, I'm helping some kids get ready for college and kids get ready for their showcasing event, you know, my elite athletes. So it's a busy time for me right now.
That's the voice of Donald Watts, former University of Washington basketball player, now running basketball camps. Donald, go ahead and talk about the website and where parents and basketball players can go to sign up to join your camps.
Oh, you can go to watchbasketball.com. You can follow me on Twitter at DonWatch24 or Facebook at WatchBball. We're having a great time enjoying it. We got programs for kids of all ages and skill levels. Really just having fun, man, making the most of it.
Donald, if you would, take us back to your high school days when you were named the Gatorade State Player of the Year. What was that like for you, and what did that mean to you?
It was great. I just lived in the gym and worked a lot, and I had the opportunity to have a lot of really good guys around me that we worked with: Michael Dickerson, Jason Terry, Omar Givens, Roberto Bergeson. All the top players at that time would go over to the pro club, and we would get after each other. So we really pushed each other to new heights, and we kept each other in the gym, you know, trying not to get beat by each other, and coming back every day. You know, we played one-on-one, and then we would leave, and I would try to sneak back in the gym and get some extra work in because those guys were tough, and they really prepared me for college. But really was the reason that I was able to get the award, along with the support of my dad and a lot of the, you know, pro athletes that I grew up around my shared some of that really. I do what I do now so I can, you know, give that stuff back to the kids who aspire to be great basketball players.
Donald, you'd mentioned growing up in a household with an NBA player. Of course, your father being Slick Watts, one of the greatest supersonics I believe to ever play. I mean, you talk about somebody who's quick and somebody who's flashy, can take it to the hole. Tell me, do you feel like that was a, you know, an added bonus by you playing basketball, or was it just basically you making that decision that this is what you wanted to do?
I definitely made a decision. This is what I wanted to do. But once I made that decision, I mean, how could it not be an advantage to have a guy who's been to the ultimate level and had the highest success there? Of course, it was an advantage, and always saw it as such. Sometimes people ask me that I feel the pressure of, you know, being your son and playing basketball. And I never did because I had high expectations for myself, and I saw it as an advantage. You know, the people who, you know, the household I grew up in, the people who I had the privilege to be around, from, you know, Sonics like Dale Ellis and Xavier McDaniels and Sean Kemp, who I'm, you know, still good friends with now that he's back in town. And I just learned so much from all of those guys. And it was because my father was my father, and he was who he was for the community. He ended up, you know, being mentors and talking to a lot of the pros that came after him about, you know, how to handle themselves in the city and, you know, that kind of thing. So they all looked out for me. So it was great. It was a great experience. And like I said, I made the most of it. I feel like if not for this chronic fatigue syndrome, little autoimmune deal that I'm dealing with, you know, I would still be playing professional at a really high level.
For those of you just tuning in, this is Donald Watts, formerly University of Washington basketball extraordinaire on the double with the Double S Express. Hey, Donald, let me take you back here to the University of Washington days. I mean, you're, man, if there was ever a time that I ever had a heartfelt consent for the Huskies. I mean, I bleeded purple and gold back in the day. And, you know, I'm going to take you back to 1998. And I know this is probably something that you do not like to relive over and over again. But, man, I kind of want to know a perspective from you. That game against UConn, Rip Hamilton, I mean, man, let the listeners know, you know, what was going on. I mean, the play looked like, you know, the defensive play looked like it was written up perfectly, and then it falls into Hamilton's hands. Do you relive that every day?
Not every day, but every time somebody brings it up, it lasts about a week or so. You know, I mean, it definitely is, you know, I'll say this. I'm blessed that I've been in the game, blessed to have had the opportunity decide to put us up by one and put us a rebound away from the Elite Eight, you know. So I definitely, even though it's a bitter moment, I cherish the moment. You sometimes you think about, you know, just for an instant, if the ball had bounced a different way and fell into our hands, what could have been, you know, and what would have been. But at the end of the day, you know, you just got to get back to work and enjoy life, you know what I'm saying? And even, you know, when it happened, I kind of got over it so quick because I knew our team was coming back, the bulk of our team was coming back, and, you know, I was excited to get to, like, I mean, instantly, you know. By the time I got to the locker room, I was excited to get next year started again and get back to work and get to running and doing some things and having an even bigger and better year the next year. It didn't quite, I mean, we had a better year as far as seeding and stuff, but then we lost in the first round. But that summer I did a lot of hard work and had an injury going into the, you know, not going into the season, but the middle of the year that kind of slowed me down personally. But we still had a great year.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know, Donald was going into, I believe it was your senior year. You had ball players like Deion Lewton on the team, sensational guard Todd McCullough. You know, so yeah, there was no reason for you guys to not have a great season during the regular season. So yeah, what an excellent team. I believe Dan Dickow was Dan Dickow on the team as well. I believe he was a freshman.
Dan was a freshman or sophomore. Yeah, he was on that team. He definitely was on that team my senior year, but I think it was his sophomore year. I think. And then he left in, like, in December of that year. I think he had an injury and he left in December, so maybe he kept 3 years at Gonzaga or something like that. I'm not, that part of it is kind of foggy for me, but he was definitely on our team at the beginning of the year.
Donald Watts joining us here on the double alongside Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. Donald, speaking of Gonzaga and University of Washington with their men's basketball program, do you think they should get that one game a year back together and do it consistently year in and year out, home and away, to not only play a powerhouse in Gonzaga and also the Huskies, but to keep that in-state rivalry and to try to keep a lot of these talented high school kids home in the state of Washington?
I mean, from a fan perspective, no doubt. We played them every year. We looked forward to playing them. It was it was always a battle. And from the fan perspective, I mean, it's a no-brainer. But I think there's some, you know, some business and you know, maybe some personal issues there that won't allow it to happen right now. You know, money splits and stuff like that, and you know, the scheduling and who, you know, what you can lose and gain from winning and losing to certain teams and different things like that come into play in the business of college basketball. You know, I mean, because it definitely is a big business.
And so, Donald, you after your college career, you went on and you played a little bit in the NBDL.
Yeah, I played in the NBDL, played a little bit overseas.
And so which teams – oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, so I played for the NBDL Ambassadors, which was was like an inaugural team. It was a year before the NBDL started. We went and played in South America, the South American Championships, and had a great – I mean, a fantastic experience over there. I mean, it was too fun, you know. Had a great time. Then played for the Mobile Revelers. My family and, you know, I grew up, you know, here and in Mobile, Alabama. So I had an opportunity to go home, so to speak, and play in front of all of my family, which is in the South, for a year, half the season anyway. Then a couple years back, actually, I guess it's not been a couple years. I'm getting old, man. I went to Belgium and played in Belgium and played about half the year over there. You know, except I deal with chronic fatigue syndrome, and it 3 or 4 days a week. You know, I'm pretty darn good, man. But 5, 6, 7 days, you know, the schedule just beats my body down and it doesn't recover like a regular athlete would, or like I was used to before I went to college. So
tell us a little bit about the chronic fatigue disease. For the listeners who don't know,
it's an autoimmune disorder, and it really, you know, requires. I mean, the quality of my life is great. You know, I don't just day to day. I'm fine. I have a little fatigue here and there. The big thing is watching what I eat. Not right now. I'm on a program with, you know, no gluten, sugar, flour. You know, no refined sugars and stuff like that. That helps me a lot when I do that. Of course, you know, I'm an adult and I like to have a beer every now and then. And when I do that, it's a little bit worse off for me than it is for most people. So I have to watch what I eat and try to take care of myself and you know, keep my weight down and stuff like that.
So, Donald, that's something that you can manage and try to maintain to where you can hopefully have more energy and feel better throughout the week?
Yeah, for sure. It's tricky because I have to exercise to you know, keep my system healthy and stuff. But if I exercise too much, then my system's really slow down and I pay for it. You know, my digestive system, my you know, cognitive, you know, everything. If I overwork. If I overtrain or whatever, and it's a real fine line.
Former University of Washington basketball star Donald Watts joining us here on The Double. Donald, comparing your post-college career, your overseas days, how did the competition there correlate to what you faced in local leagues like the IBL, where Sean and I were able to interview you when you were playing with the Seattle Mountaineers back in the day? Was the competition similar? How did that correlate?
It was, you know what, when you know, when you're playing in IBL, the competition is it's down a level, but it is similar. The coaching, I mean, when you're overseas, you know, you're training, you're two times a day, you know, you're making anywhere from, you know, $6,000 to $20,000 a month to play. When you come back and you play in the IBL, you know, you're playing in the summertime, and you're going to get 3 or 4 of those guys that are, you know, high level overseas guys that are playing to stay in shape. And so the competition is definitely there, you know, but then you also get, you know, some guys who are just trying to get an opportunity who are a little bit lesser level, and then the coaching isn't it's not the same caliber as you're going to get overseas, and the movement. It's a more of a you get opportunity to really grow and gel as a team and really move off each other and stuff like that. And in some of the local leagues, the IBL and stuff like that, you're more working on your individual. It's an opportunity to kind of get off a little bit, work on your individual skills and talent, and kind of work on stuff and showcase and stuff like that. But it's not that far off, but there's just more bigger, better guys when you're over in Europe, depending on where you go.
We're on with Donald Watts on the Double with the Double S Express. For those of you just tuning in, hey, Donald, one quick question. Who do you have going into Game 6 in the NBA Finals here?
I lost you for a minute there. Hello?
So one quick question. Who do you have in the finals here for the NBA Finals?
When I watch this series, it's hard to bet against LeBron and Dwayne Wade because it seems like when that switches on, nobody can beat them. But then at the same time, it feels like nobody but San Antonio can beat them because when they're clicking, they play such a good team brand of basketball, and it seems like everybody who they put on the floor has a role, knows their role, really cherishes and exceeds in their role. And when you got eight guys that are clicking versus three guys that are clicking, I got to put my money, and my heart on the eight. I'm kind of a basketball purist, and I love to see. I know some people say, oh, San Antonio's so boring. But I love to see the touch passes and the movement and the spacing and how everybody makes the game easier on each other, So I'm going to have to go with San Antonio, even though I know they have to win in Miami.
There you have it with Donald Watts on the Double with the Double S Express. Hey, Don, just before you go, again, you're doing some great things with the kids in the community, and, of course, you're helping develop high school kids as well in getting to the next level. Go ahead and give the listeners, again, the contact information, I believe, is wattsbasketball.com, but go ahead and let everybody know how they can get in contact with you, how they can get involved in the camps.
Wattsbasketball.com. That's WATTS, basketball.com. You can follow me on Twitter at DonaldWatts24 and like us on Facebook @Facebook/WattsBball.
There he is, Donald Watts, former University of Washington basketball player, now holding down basketball camps, wattsbasketball.com for more information. Donald, thanks so much for jumping on the Double tonight.
Thanks, fellas.
All right. Have a good one, Donald.
All right. Thank you.
Donald, man, I'm telling you, just another great young man, doing some things in the community, helping out the kids. Just getting a chance to see firsthand. I had no idea about the chronic fatigue disease, Sean. I mean, I was wondering, what happened. I he should be playing in the league, and, it was – good to hear, that, what it was, because, I mean, there was a huge question mark. We're always wondering what was going on and why Donald wasn't playing.
Oh, absolutely. That was an item back when we were calling games for the Tacoma Thunder in the IBL, because we would play the Seattle Mountaineers, who Donald was with at the time, and he wasn't playing, and we had to figure out why and where was Donald and what's going on, and that's where we started hearing that he has this fatigue disease and he has to manage it.
Yeah, great young man to take his eyes off of himself. And it's a passion for him to play basketball, and it's a passion for him to be out there. And he's finding a way to get out there and do things. And, of course, that's helping young individuals get to the next level. So coming up on the top of the hour here, Mr. Wally, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to finalize some things, probably maybe take a call or two. If you want to call into the show, you can call in to 888-429-5471. Again, that number is 888-429-5471. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express on BBS Radio. This is awesome.
Oh.
likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Back here on the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Just a few more minutes of show number six. We've had great guests tonight. Big time guest number one was Q13 Fox in Seattle sports director Aaron Levine, and we just finished up with big time guest number two, former University of Washington basketball star Donald Watts. Good information from both of them. Good things happening in the Northwest in sports all around. Donald Watts holding basketball camps, teaching the kids how to do it right. WattsBasketball.com. And a lot going on in the sports world. And for a quick update, here's Sean Boyd to tell us what's going on with the NHL Stanley Cup.
Well, the Boston Bruins is what's happening right now in the NHL. They defeat the Chicago Blackhawks 2-0 tonight. And, man, you talk about a fast-paced contest. I mean, it was everything and a bag of chips, if you will. Boston goes up 2-1 in the series. It stays in Boston for Game 4. That game will be two nights from tonight. And you can be rest assured, the Chicago Blackhawks have been in this position before, of course, against the Detroit Red Wings down 2-0 in that quarter, in the quarterfinals there. So they're no stranger to having their backs up against the wall. This is going to be a great, great series. It might go seven games.
Seems to be the norm in the playoffs. You go the full extent. You don't see too many 4-0s or sweeps of that nature.
No, and, you know, and that's the beauty of the leagues. I know that the NHL has taken a hit as far as having the long extended strike season, but the fans are starting to come back. There's a lot of excitement that is in the NHL, and having these two teams, Boston and Chicago, both historic franchises, it's nothing but a tremendous upside for the NHL.
In baseball tonight, we've got the Oakland Athletics in Texas and the Seattle Mariners down in Anaheim taking on the Angels. Do you have updates on those games, Sean?
Well, in the bottom of the eighth, the Athletics are down 8-6 to the Rangers. And, of course, the Seattle game is just starting. The top of the third, it's the Angels 4, Mariners 2. But there's plenty of baseball to be played.
A lot of offense down in Anaheim, apparently 4-2. The Mariners trail. Interesting note, the Angels on the hill, former Mariner Jason Vargas.
Yes, and you know, of course, Vargas is trying to turn his career, keep his career going. You know, right now he's having a shaky start to the beginning of the season. But there's still a lot of season left. You know, Seattle Mariners, of course, talking with Aaron Levine earlier, man, it's just going to be one of those seasons, it sounds like, again. But hopefully there will be some bright spots for the Mariners.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd down in the Sacramento, California area. I am Sean Wally in Tri-Cities, Washington. This is On the Double with the Double S Express. Show number six just about in the books. And we've got a very special, hopefully lucky, show number seven for you next week, Sean Boyd.
Yes. So show number 7, we're looking at a big reunion for us, Mr. Wally. Of course, how it all started in the IBL, the International Basketball League, with the Tacoma Thunder. It's going to be a reunion of sorts. A lot of the past players. Should be a great show. We're going to reminisce on a few things, have a few laughs, and of course find out what these young men are doing in their lives. It's going to be great.
Absolutely. Looking to have the commissioner of the IBL, the guy that started it all, Michael Duilio, on the show, along with Tacoma Thunder owner David Massey, and as you mentioned, coaches and players, so we can reminisce on the good old days and also see what they're up to these days.
Yes, and if you want to send any information or if you have any questions, you can email us both, Sean@SSExpress.com. That's S-E-A-N at double-S-Express.com. And, of course, if you want to email Sean Wally, that's S-H-A-W-N at double-S-Express.com. Any insight, any questions, feel free. No question is taboo. Well, if it's a good one, we'll definitely bring it on the air for you.
A couple of easy ways to find all of our contact information. One of the best, go to our station show page at bbsradio.com/onthedouble. All of our information and links to our Twitter, our Facebook, our emails, and our very own website right there, bbsradio.com/onthedouble.
And, yes, and of course, the show kind of got away with us today. But if you want to call into the show, and, of course, we had a few callers calling in, and sorry we didn't get to you, but please, please feel free to call us. You can call the show at 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471. We want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear some of the things that are going on in your area, and don't hesitate to call.
That's going to wrap up show number 6 here on the Double. For Sean Boyd down in Sacramento, I am Sean Wally in Tri-Cities, Washington. Be sure to tune us in next Monday, next week, 1 week from tonight, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 out East, for the next edition of On the Double here on BBS Radio.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.